The title of the message, it's Better Dead Than Alive. How do you like that? Better dead than alive. Just wanted to cheer you up right from the beginning. Hallelujah. So, as many pursue the things of the world, we should consider that at the end of all of our sweat and all of our labors, we're going to take nothing with us. Psalm 49 and verse 17 says, "For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after." You know, so many people want to leave an inheritance, and this inheritance is that in our an inheritance that is based on, I would say, on the Word of God. But remember this, it's a confirmed fact that the mortality rate is 100%. The truth of the matter is, I mean, I'm looking at you guys and you're living, but you're all going to die. And what's going to be the end of that? What's going to be the worth of your life when it comes to an end? How will it be measured in the hand of God? That's the important thing. It's not so much how we live, how many things we accumulate, but how it works. You know, the fact that it's a confirmed fact that 100% of the people are going to die, quite frankly, we all go along as though nothing was going to change. And that's life. We kind of scurry around like ants. If they call it a rat race, we get caught up in that. We get caught up in the pursuit of things. We just keep like little birds and beasts scurrying, spending time, energy, building, gathering, seeking creature comforts. And the pleasures of the flesh, position, power, status. And you know, you just look at the world that we're in now. If it wasn't people wanting all to be in power and control, I mean, we wouldn't have problems. If people would just be blessed with serving God and serving one another, we wouldn't have the trouble we have. So I want to say this. The sad thing is that so many Christians, there's not much difference. And the people, when you go out there, what's the... We see people having battles in churches, undermining this, undermining that. They're not, they're not very Christ-like in their life. And you wonder, why is that? Well, let's continue with, because Jesus had some good advice. And he said this, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor, and where the thieves do." So what is he? For where your treasure is, that's where your life heart is. Where your treasure is, that's where your life is and your heart is. Because you pursue things, then you got to protect them. You got to keep them. And you're going to do this with this and do this with that. It just is what we go through. And yet it all goes away. It's all gone. So keeping this in perspective, every person should use their God-given abilities to provide for them and help others, because what we do in this life should have positive impact. In other words, we should be a positive influence wherever we go. You know, more and more I find myself talking to strangers. My wife is very good at that. Wherever we go, things happen. I can't go through all of the tests, some of them the other day, but I mean, even in one case, we wound up having a prayer meeting in a Denny's at 11 o'clock in the morning. People emptied out for breakfast coming in. We prayed, Terry prayed for one of the waitresses. She called two others. Before you know, we had four waitresses. And that's not the only time that that happened. We wind up in a prayer meeting, and people need prayer. People need to be encouraged. People need to know that God loves them. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is that when we start talking about riches, it's not so much the wealth that Jesus is talking about. It's okay to be rich. You can do a lot of good things if you have money. You really can. You can help a lot. You can do much. But listen, he makes it clear that it's not so much that he's concerned with wealth as he's concerned about loyalty. In other words, when your heart is following wealth, you're no longer loyal to Jesus. You're loyal to. So that's the first thing we have to realize. And things can be in direct conflict to the loyalty. The danger of amassing possession, the treasure will demand, I got to keep this house. I want you to have a house. I want you to live someplace. He's not putting you out in the street. What he's saying is, enjoy this as a blessing for you. Be thankful for what you have. And how you use it for your family, to help others, use it. But don't get caught up in this, that this is the thing that you're so involved with that you're not able to serve God the way you should. When sin entered the world, all creation, we gotta go right back to the beginning of Genesis here, Genesis. So what was once, when God made, Adam didn't have, it just grew. He could go out and gather, he could go out and do whatever he wanted to do, but he wasn't breaking his back. The soil yielded what it needed to yield. He had everything that he needed. But once sin entered the world, that enjoyable environment required men and beasts to labor for their very existence. In fact, Genesis 3, verse 17 says, and then Adam said, because you have listened, and then to Adam, God says this, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat. Both cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. And he goes on to say, both thorns and thistles shall grow for you. You will eat the plants of the field by the sweat. How many of you have been out there building this building? A building. You know, I remember one guy said to me, Pastor, it says build a church upon a rock, but this is lots of rocks. I mean, every place you put in a shovel, you hit a rock. It was like an end of a glacier. Unbelievable. So we were sweating. We were breaking our backs, all of us. And again, he reminds us of your face. You will eat bread till you return. And because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall. So sin and the curse that made life, it made it a lot of work. Just think about how many things you have to do. We are on some kind of special fasting thing that we do, Derry and I. So we eat only two meals a day, sometimes only one. And one of the interesting things is how much more time we have. Do you realize how much time you do spend preparing food, buying food, bringing it in, preparing it, eating it, and then cleaning up after it? I mean, you know, that's a lot of time in the day if you think about it. And it's pretty interesting that you can notice that a lot more when you're not eating three different meals. You've got more time for you, more time for the Lord, more time for a lot of things. So I know that some people accrue more wealth than others. And in accruing that wealth, just remember, that's what we start. You know, the Egyptians, they thought they could take it with, and they built these huge, and you know what they accomplished? They had a big set of the grave rock. That's what they did. Every one of those things eventually was broken into, and all of that stuff that was in there that was supposed to be with them in the afterlife was gone. It was stolen. It was taken. Well, did Jesus build up treasure here rather than treasure in heaven? We should talk about treasure in heaven another time. So I want to move on here. So if we're talking about wealth, accruing things, getting things to be doing, well, then just the pursuit of earthly things. You know, I remember when some of you people were just kids, literally. I can't even believe I see some of the young people in 1 year. It's amazing. And some get older in a year, too. I mean, it goes in both directions, you know. You all know that, all right? But have you ever considered that only a Christian can find his or her temporal and eternal purpose in this life? I'm serious. Think about it. All of this stuff that you chase, all of this stuff that you do, only the Christian can see the big picture. There's a lot of people out there that have a big picture. Adolf Hitler had a big picture. Karl Strauss has a big picture. They see this new world utopia that they're building. Be careful. It's not what you think it is. But I want to say this. When you look from our perspective, from the Christian perspective, you find that there is an insight given to us. For the first of all, why are you? For the purpose of. You were created to know God, love God, and walk with first man created. And now because of all of these broken down, and now we have all these lost people. Well, so all of these are lost, and then we're saved, and we're okay. No. And he said, you know what? We'll just stay. Oh, maybe the 70s. And the rest of it, so I think our mindset and in various, kind of what it boils down to. But we have a more noble calling that leads to a person, a purpose, and mission for our life. And not only that, But we can better understand the blessings of life. I enjoy the blessings of life, nature, family, the possessions that I have. They're all cool. But more than that, I just look at marriage. The blessings of some people can't wait for their spouse to. But think of it. This is supposed to imitate or reflect the relationship between God and we do that. We enjoy. In fact, sometimes it gets so good you want to have family, the blessings of families. But look at the, I want to tell you, I've been to, I don't want to go. And then my kids, I've got 6 qualified advisors and bosses that are all out to heal me. It's an amazing thing. And they know better than I. They know I should drive or I shouldn't drive. I should fly or I should walk. I'm telling you, there's not one thing that they don't know about how I should live my life. And Derry's really excited because I have to go. Upcoming surgery, and he's excited about is they all want to come. Each of them's coming in turn. It's going to be very interesting, it really will. It's good. But that's the way it is. We really can enjoy these things. Not only that, but part of the Abrahamic covenant is to raise godly. And if we don't accomplish that, we didn't realize that, but God called Abraham, and you can see, he said, he's calling him so that Abraham and then the children. Now we do, some do better than us with this, but we forget that. And nobody tells you that in the church and nobody tells you how to do it. That's the problem with all, that's the problem with churches. We can tell you what the Bible says, but we don't take the time to walk with people, to work through things and help them do what the Bible. And there's a big difference because the Bible says, be not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. So I want to move on here pretty quickly. We have a more noble. So the world may not know it, but did you know something? The world is waiting. What do you mean the world's waiting for me? The world's a tough place. The world's rough. It's all of those things, but it's waiting for the manifestation. I'll say this. When it comes down to something, I lost 2 stacks of papers here, and I wound up doing something and Ivan has my notes. I got it. We got it. We're good, Ivan. Okay. So, right now in the church age, we're in the last days. And I think we sense that, and we don't know how this is end for us. We know how in the end we realize that that's all going to happen. But what I know those things and sent this, and that is that we would be and receive what God's called us to be so that we have that. We treasure that we have built up. Romans says in Romans 18 says, for longing awaits eagerly. Could it be the millennium? All I know is that Paul is preparing a that will move towards this direction so that they to do. Move forward, we need to be the people to be. Now, sounds like, again, we need whereby we know how, where we were able to have what I would call a relationship that says, hey, I can talk to you. I'm having a problem with my life, and we can get godly encouragement and advice from people. And they're given a you come and you say I'm having problems. Well, you're right. I suggest that you next. What they do is the therapeutic model. So take care of your patient, and nobody's thinking about the kids, which is when there's. And you look at it, and friendships break down, of families that we knew, everything is a mess. The kids are confused about this. Everybody gets to, he's given us. So again, I once asked, and I said, brother, are you looking forward? I know others that, then there are those who are living who, with a godly purpose. They find life worth fighting for, but they see the eternal is more comforting than life on the. In other words, they're working towards the eternal while enjoying what they have here. You can do both, and you should do both. The 11th chapter of Hebrews, we seldom quote that. A faith teacher, and you're teaching faith by faith, the one by overcome death, this, that. When you get down to verse 36, by faith, they did not worry about being burned, but rather than by faith, children die. By faith, they didn't. They go through all, we don't read, that's Romans 11, 36 to 40. Why? A lot of people like to read the word of God, how would I put it? It's very simple. It's, here's the word of God. I like this, what God says. Friends, it's the word of God. Get used to like the whole thing. You're going to need to like the whole thing. And finally, we come down to this. This brings us to a subject put off today, but cannot be, And I'm going to be closing this part of the talk, and that is, and surprisingly, the ability to bring home death. Jesus, aware of the death he was about to die, was troubled by what lay ahead of him, what lay ahead. He wasn't afraid to die, but approaching the place where he goes on. John 12, verse. Now my soul is troubled. Father, in other words, here, come. This is, but for this purpose, Father, glorified it and will glorify it. I find that real. Therefore, the people stood by, they heard it for your sake. Now is the judgment on the ruler of the. I want you to think of when Christ is. Now it's going to be the devil. He's going to be judged, and he's going to be. Oh, the world is going to be. And he was. Then again, he said this. And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw. All. So Jesus' death paid. You've all heard. Said many. But the death of the Son of God was the only way that we could have relationship with God, that we could be made righteous, payment of our debt. And his suffering and debt made a way for man to be forgiven and not only be reconciled. Think about this. This is so cool. It's not just reconciled to God, but you're made a child of God. By grace through faith, you are saved. That not yourself. It is. So what we have now is where it can be children, sons and daughters of God. We have a new destiny, a new identity, a new DNA, literally, creation in Christ. And so he paid that. In Romans 6, verses 1 through 11, I'm going to, Paul speaking, I want to take the death. Understand that. What would happen if, would there be any? So in this, we understand, he himself said, it's like a kernel, and that kernel, when it falls, it dies, and the fruit is all mankind. So as we look here, he says, may it never be. And how shall we who died to sin still live in it? Wait, well, you're dead to sin. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized? If you haven't been ready to get baptized, it's immersion. When you believe in Jesus, you're immersed. How does that? Well, it happens spiritually. And then it goes on, therefore we have been buried with him. That's why we hold, and we hold you on cooperating. And he goes on to say, therefore we have been buried so that Christ is raised through the glory of the dead men. Dead people. But we do, don't we? Hello? Remember this. I just talked to my son about this the other day. If Jesus said adultery, it's not just, but the thought, the lust. So in other words, I don't have to do it. All I have to do is. So I can sin by, first of all, by doing the wrong, by thinking, by saying the wrong, by not doing the right thing. We're all guilty of sin. Anybody have an argument lately? Even your, we'll talk to you about that. So anyway, again, what we're seeing here is dead men. And right now, as we look at the church and the church age, we're finding that, and I'm not saying that as a, I don't care what you say, 500, what would that mean? You had 500, and then more. What's going on in their lives when they, did they fight coming here? Did they fight going home? Are they working out their thing, their relationship? And so, he says if we become united with him, verse 5, in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin away was. Now, if we died, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ and the dead is die again. Death no longer is master. For the death that he died once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Jesus had one for all of the sin. Now, so he says, so even so, consider you dead to sin. I want to, if we're dead to sin, why are so many, if the above passage, Romans 6 is 1 through 11, is, and it is, why are so many, but many Christians want to walk the fence between Christ and, they like what they see in the world, this guy's getting away with this guy's, you know, let's kind of do a little, well, I love Jesus, I want to go to heaven, so I've received him that we say we did. But you know, all Christians, none of them spiritual type rope. And what I'm saying, when you're walking the fence, you're going to get to the other side. You're going to be falling to the sin side. Then you're going to be climbing back out. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Didn't mean that, God. I'm sorry. I'm going to get this down. And then we're going to get back up and say, well, this is much better over here. I can do it. And we get back up on that fence and we start walking on the fence and then back down. Repeat performance. Back and forth, back and forth. Many believers like the salvation part of the gospel. That's the whole deal here. But are not fully committed to the one who said, this is where he was here. Where do we stand? These Christians we're talking about, good fight, if you, and you're frustrated. I'm just saying, that's. And then finally, many committed believers haven't learned that they're better off. Hello? You, we are all better off dead. I'm not talking physical death, okay? I'm talking living out the death that Christ, that we have with Christ, been, what shall I say, accounted to through his death and faith by grace. This is something that has to get lived out in our life. So we haven't learned. First of all, we don't see the value. We'll see the value in it. Next time you have stupid arguments and stupid and you're just stupid, just say, you know what, I'm stupid. Something's wrong here. And it's not just the guy you're arguing with, but many believe. So make up your own. Choose for you. Is it Jesus or the world? Begin to, and quite frankly, with other disciples, with a cross, that cross to die on, and that journey, so that by the time we get finished through that day, we're better than we were when we, certain things that deadened us, that should have been deadened us along, but we're going to talk about it.